I haven't seen a script, but I've no doubt if it isn't up to par, they'll chuck it out. Ooh, la, 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 la. All my actor friends are cracking wise, but I can see the envy in their eye. Ooh, la, 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 la.
Liz?
Here.
We gotta talk.
Gotta get down to business.
We gotta talk about J.K. Rowling.
Again? I'm so tired of talking about J.K. Rowling, but I love it, so I will.
I could forgive.
Oh, I know what you're talking
about. I could forgive when she told us Harry Potter's thoughts on the Israel-Palestine conflict. I could forgive that. But what I cannot forgive is the reveal of when wizards started using muggle plumbing. Pottermore tweeted, wizards would magic away poop. Wizards would relieve themselves wherever they stood and vanish away evidence before they adopted muggle plumbing in the 18th century. So not only do they don't even squat. They just
slide,
let
just
it,
on the slide, just free and breezy.
Free and breezy.
Now, I am in a bit of a surreal spot because I'm like 1,000% sure that I read this exact tweet years ago and it was a joke Photoshop from Reddit or somewhere.
Okay.
And I think that someone just
hacked the Pottermore account?
No, I think someone that has to do with Pottermore just saw that tweet and thought it was so funny that they included it.
Maybe.
But like, it's so familiar to me. When I saw it again this second time around, I was immediately about to jump on my bullshit and go to people.
Right, yeah.
Oh, actually.
You were going to,
it's
oh,
a joke
actually.
Tweet. It's a joke tweet that is just a Photoshop.
I tried.
Years and years ago.
I tried to find, because I saw
Luckily,
the tweet on Pottermore. Like, I saw it while it was live, while the internet was losing their bonkers over it. And
losing their bonkers.
And I wrote it down as like a, okay, we definitely have to discuss this. But then, like yesterday, I went to Google it again to make sure it wasn't like April Fool's or something.
Mm-hmm.
There has been no more. Pottermore hasn't talked about it. J.K. Rowling hasn't talked about it in my research. Maybe I didn't do enough research, but it seems like it's still legit.
I think it's just someone has access to the Pottermore Twitter and they thought it would be funny.
No, I can't. Do you really think so?
Yeah.
I feel like the Pottermore.
It's so familiar to me.
Can we talk about it like it's legit? Can you yes and me here?
I mean,
Liz.
Okay.
Can you yes and me? Can you leave the cynic alone for a minute and just?
It's just misinformation on the internet. It's the bane of my existence. But okay. Fine.
It's like, yeah, I mean, I took it upon, I did this same Googling, looking like, surely if that was a joke, someone would have come forward by now. It isn't. They tweeted it. They left it.
What I'm saying is I don't think it's a joke. I think it's a...
It's a misinformation, but still, yeah. Like, someone would have been like, oh, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
What our social media correspondent screwed up. Or
has no one has even like been like, haha, isn't that a weird fact? From like, has Rowling responded to it?
Let's see if Rowling has responded.
It's just the fact that it's so isolated an incident.
Play with me. As the great Griffin McElroy would say, play with me.
Guess so.
It's like clearly like they would have said something. Even if someone screwed up or something.
Do you not remember this?
No, I have
joke,
no
though?
Idea what you're talking about.
Oh, God, I remember this fact from years ago.
Well, I'm sure this isn't the first time this fact has come up either. It's probably in a lore Bible somewhere.
Maybe.
So, like, maybe
Guess
even
so.
That joke that you saw years ago was the same thing.
Oh, maybe.
Where
maybe so.
It's like, this was in a lore Bible. J.K. Joan, is her name Joan?
Yeah.
Bless her heart. Joan... was writing all the things. She wrote, Ginny and Harry get together, and they vanish the poop.
Vanish the poop. Now, vanishing your poop seems like a no-brainer to me. Yeah, just vanish your poop. But why in the middle of the conversation? Like, surely there'd be a designated...
poop like, time?
Yeah.
You'd be like, you know. It'd be like a burp or something, right? Yeah. You would have to excuse yourself.
Well, even just the idea, because wizards have, like, magic, so they mm-hmm. can, like, so their society has, like, been functioning much higher levels than Muggle society in medieval ages or whatever.
Yeah.
So they might have, like, just bedpans, you know, whatever the maybe 1400s version of it is, plus magic equals our level of convenience.
Maybe wizards are just bedpan, nasty, dirty poop. Boys.
Like, they like people watching them while they poop?
I think it's, yes, not necessarily like, but they just don't care, man. They're just like, they let it all free. They're like,
God, what if Hogwarts just like smelled and felt exactly like a real medieval castle?
The laws of physics, there's probably something about you can't just make some disappear, right?
I don't know if Harry Potter has actually gone into details, but I think that maybe that is a thing.
So like,
when you vanish poop, it goes somewhere.
It's going somewhere. Where is it going?
It goes to the Great Poop Castle. The Great Poop Pile.
The Great Poop Pile.
In Lancashire.
Right. I mean, like, us muggles over here, we just take all our garbage and throw it on a pile somewhere.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be that weird if wizards took all their poop and threw it on a pile.
The transit, rather than putting it in a bag and throwing it into a big truck that then drives over, the transit is just magic. It teleports from one to the other. But the mechanics are the same.
Yeah.
I got some stuff. I don't want it anymore. I'm going to put it on the pile of everyone's stuff we don't want anymore.
So, follow up. How do you think... Do you think they magic wiping? Or do they just got nasty bum holes?
Well, I would assume that because it's magic, it's every particle. You know?
It's every particle.
Like, the reason that there's grossness behind is because there's still stuff on you. It's not like your skin changes consistency because gross stuff was on you. So if it magics it all away, you'd be clean and fresh as a daisy.
Clean and fresh as a daisy.
Yeah. If it's magic that's vanishing it, wiping is a non-issue.
Okay. First question. There are non-magical people at Hogwarts, right?
Yeah. There's a squib.
Yeah, there's a squib or two.
And also, like, some people are better or worse at magic than others.
So, how do they poop? The non-magical people. The squibs. And... What about what's his face? He keeps blowing himself up all the time. Neville doesn't blow himself up. He's just an idiot.
Oh, Sean.
Sean. Wingardium Leviosa, boom in his face.
Yeah.
He
has to go poop in the shame
Wingardium
bucket.
Wingardium Pumbaa. What?
He has to go poop in the shame bucket.
Oh, there's a shame. There would be a bucket.
Yeah. And the squibs, because, of course, wizards are very racist.
Yeah.
That anyone that isn't pure and good at magic... You gotta go do it. And it's in public. It's in the middle of the Quidditch pitch.
Well, actually. Everyone else is doing it in public, so...
That's true. But you gotta, like, physically lift up your robe and sit on it.
Yeah.
And there's house elves that stand in a circle around you and point and go, shame, shame, shame.
And it's like, they don't even want to do it. They hate it. But they're because they're slaves, they have to.
The house elves?
The house elves.
Well, the house elves are also pretty dirty boys.
They are dirty boys.
So they pick out the ones that are, well, they're the volunteer.
They
pick out the volunteers for it.
So the house elves are lining up to shame. I guess, you know.
They got a humiliation fetish.
Exactly.
So what's the problem? This universe makes perfect sense.
Why did they ever adopt Muggle plumbing then?
That's a very good question. Probably a lot of Muggle-borns, it just happened to reach the threshold of Muggle technology is superior to, or mother, mug, not Muggle technology necessarily, but Muggle ideas.
Yeah.
Or what am I trying to say? The Muggle way of doing a thing. Is better than the wizard way of doing it.
Yeah.
And for years and years and years and years and years, it was just assumed that wizard way of doing things is vastly superior.
Right.
Because we got magic.
Because wizards are racist.
Yeah, and because they got magic and muggles don't. But now, the scales are turning.
Mm-hmm.
And...
The gap so plumbing, between...
Plumbing was the first big shift. And smartphones is the next one.
Whoa.
Yeah. So soon we're going to be
seeing... Wizard selfies.
Wizard devices.
How are they going to... How is the wizarding world going to remain a secret when all those wizards got Snapchat?
That's right.
I don't know if it can. I think, you know, Logan Paul is going to be filming his next video wearing a wizard robe running around Hogsmeade.
Yeah. Pooping himself.
Pooping himself.
Left and right. Not even cleaning it up.
Next on my docket here. I have a docket.
It's good. Because I do not have a docket. So someone has to have a docket. Might as well be you.
So we all know, we're all excited for Sonic the Hedgehog 2019.
Of course, yes.
So actually, we are sponsored this week by Sonic the Hedgehog 2019.
Oh my god.
And yes.
Is it like summer 2019? Is there a release date?
As we are sponsored by them, I should have that information. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm assuming summer because that's when all the big movies come out.
Right.
So as we all know, in this film, it's a gritty retelling of the Sonic lore.
Mm-hmm.
They have...
And it's live action.
Beautifully crafted Sonic to be believably live action.
Yes. So he basically looks like a human being with blue fur.
He's got those big, juicy, beefy legs.
Beefy calves, yeah.
Beefy calves. Mm. The technology behind this movie is incredible. I got to see a little bit of it. They have perfected musculature, like within the rig of Sonic. They've built bones, blood. There's blood pumping through.
Wow.
It's actually every one of his giant quills on his head is a muscle that is. So if you were to shave him, he would just have these big three giant muscle.
Wow! So you're telling me that they've actually built a digital artificial intelligence.
Yes.
Fully realized version of Sonic.
Jay Bauman?
Is that the director?
That's the actor. The guy who played... The actor who played Toothless's friend in How to Train Your Dragon.
Okay.
He is actually not voicing Sonic. They have digitally...
Jay Baruchel.
That guy. They've downloaded his consciousness and put it within this this is going to be the most advanced, most realistic film ever made. And because of that, so we've already started off where no one would believe a cartoon hedgehog.
Yeah, right? In the real world?
That's ridiculous.
Walking around with real people?
So, to continue
that... Might as well have a cartoon rabbit and a detective. Like, anyone's going to believe that or get immersed in that world.
To continue that... He's not going to run. He's going to run fast, but like just pretty fast. He's going to run 35 miles per hour.
He's going to run as fast as his musculature will allow.
So Usain Bolt runs about 28 miles per hour.
Oh, okay.
So Sonic's running fast. He's running 35 miles per hour.
Mm,
but he's just not like...
Not like absurd.
Yeah, come on. No one would believe that.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I want his face to look exactly like a realistic hedgehog's face. Tiny beady eyes.
Oh, he's got the beady eyes.
And the cute little snout.
Hedgehogs don't have good vision.
But a perfectly rendered human mouth.
Yes,
with lips. And teeth and gums.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Humans...
And saliva just glistening at all times.
Yes.
On his... Like, his lips are even for a live-action person, like, they're weirdly wet.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Because, as we all know... They're advertising this movie to those who want to kiss the hedgehog.
That's right.
And which is a large portion of the movie going...
And the wetter a kiss is, the better a kiss is, as the old saying goes.
The movie-going audience is largely composed of perverts.
As we all know. This is first year Hollywood economics, people. We gotta market to the perverts.
So hedgehogs can't talk, so Sonic's not going to actually talk in this film,
because
that's ridiculous. No one would believe that.
He's just going to be running extremely fast, 35 miles per hour, while nibbling on sunflower seeds.
Yeah. He isn't going to fight Dr. Eggman, because hedgehogs tend to be nonviolent. They're actually quite peaceful creatures.
Mm-hmm. Well, they would go on the defensive. He just curls up into a ball.
He curls up into a ball, and he scampers a lot. He gets out of there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, it's going to be very realistic. It's like, you know how in like the original...
But like a woman is going to fuck him. Like, she is going to fall in love with this horrific monster hedgehog man.
There is going to be... Most of this movie is going to be... fucking. You know, for kids.
Yeah.
Kids gotta learn...
Fun for the whole family.
Kids gotta learn how a hedgehog...
It does taste...
It's educational.
Yeah, it tastefully fades to black, but every scene does tastefully fade to black.
Shadow is going to be in this film, and he is going to...
He's the evil twin? He's a clone?
He's a clone?
He's a robot clone?
Robot clone. I believe evil he's a twin robot clone. And Shadow is gonna... He's gonna have lots of guns.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because you know how, like, Sonic's really cool?
What? Yeah. How can you top that?
You give him guns.
Oh, wow. It's so good. Just like the video games.
Just like the video games. Remember?
Just being brought back to
what
the
all loved about the video games was realism.
Jumps like oh god, yeah, absolutely number one,
yeah,
first thing
that was
from a Sonic
that's
game.
What we want from a Sonic game,
realism and believability,
yeah,
and that's it, really.
That's what I whenever I play Sonic,
and like at a reasonable speed, not too fast,
yeah,
like just
whenever I see the forests that are just covered in checkerboard patterns, I think just like just like the forest back home.
Yeah. Just like the beautiful checkerboard redwoods of my childhood.
Nintendo has shut down Bowsette.
What?
Sort of.
What does that mean?
So, on the official website for New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe.
Oh my god, so many names.
So many adjectives.
Say that again. New Super Mario Bros. Wii Deluxe? No.
U. Deluxe.
U, letter U?
Letter U, for the Wii U, even though this one's
It's not for the Switch?
This one is for the Switch, but it was originally for the Wii U.
And they left the U in there?
They left the U in there.
Nintendo.
Yeah. Also, Nintendo... Stop calling it New Super Mario. Just call it Super Mario Bros. Blank.
Call it a Mario jump game.
It's like, we'll figure out that this one's a 2D one because we'll watch
the trailer.
We'll look at the box.
Yeah.
If Mario's jumping towards us, it's a 3D game. If he's running sideways, it's a 2D game.
Yeah.
But anyways, on the website, it says... Only...
Well, wait a second. What was the name? New Super Mario Bros. Wii U Deluxe?
New Super Mario Bros. U...
U...
Deluxe.
Deluxe 2D side-scrolling game. Right? How else am I going to know any of what it's about?
Yes. Starring the titular Mario...
And his younger brother, Luigi.
And his younger brother, Luigi.
Or twin... And in brackets, or twin brother?
We don't know. Yeah, that is the official title. The website says that only Toadette can use the Super Crown. And then in brackets it says, sorry, Luigi. So not only are Nintendo...
What?
Dunking on all the fans for inventing and loving Bowsette. They are then taking the opportunity to dunk on Luigi.
What does that
mean? And his possible... transness?
Luigi wanted to be a princess?
Yeah. Luigi, we love you. If you want to be a princess, be a princess.
Yeah.
Nintendo can't stop you from being a princess. Nintendo can't make fun of you for being a princess.
What?
We love you.
How does the so Toadette puts on this crown and becomes a princess version of herself?
Yes.
Peach still exists.
Peach exists.
Peach stands next to Toadette.
Yeah.
Says, hey, Toadette.
I have not actually bought this game yet. I'm gonna have a real good time. But I've seen videos on the internet. They're like, ending for Super Mario U, if you beat it as Peachette. And I didn't watch it because no spoilers.
No spoilers.
But I did see, unfortunately, I saw just in the, my eye peeked and there was, Peach standing next to Peachette. And, you know, because Peachette has now saved Princess Peach.
Wait, Peachette? So Peach puts on the crown.
Toadette puts on the crown, becomes Peachette.
Oh, so the et is because of Toadette, not because of princess ending to a name.
It should be Peach-zer, I suppose. But that's dumb.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That's dumb. Stupid. We like Bowsette.
So Peach puts on the princess crown.
She can't.
Becomes Ultra.
Only, according to Nintendo, only Toadette can wear
not
the
Peach. Not even Toad?
Not even Toad.
Not even the Toadstools? Denizens of the Mushroom Kingdom?
No.
What? Well,
this power-up is designed specifically by God?
I guess so. I mean, I think it's been clearly established that
God is canon in the Mario universe.
Yeah, that Mario is a Christian universe. Monotheistic.
Yeah. We've all seen...
And that there's a Jesus... Toad that came down from the great mushroom god, and you know,
the Mario game where Mario finds the Shroud of Turin is that was a really good one.
The Shroud of Turin makes a really neat power up though. Yeah. When you wear it, when you put it on your head, and
you become Jeezette.
And what's that kind of chanting called? Baroque?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Baroque chant, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Starts up with the...
Is that Mario?
Yeah, you know, the star theme.
Oh, okay. I was expecting the regular theme.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But then that note is sustained.
Mm-hmm. Na, na, na. So which Mario characters do you think are going to heaven?
Oh, that's a very good question.
Is Wario going to heaven?
No.
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 As Jesus...
Wario's going to purgatory.
But then forever. For all eternity.
Yeah.
Is Donkey Kong going to heaven?
Oh, no.
Donkey,
he's so lustful.
He's so lustful. He's greedy.
Yeah.
He wants all the bananas for himself. Mm-hmm. The Kremlins just want to eat, and he refuses to let them.
Yeah.
Do you think Daisy's going to heaven? No.
No.
That's a no. We got a head shake no.
It's a very...
As
it's a strict God.
As
this is the Old Testament style Mario. Only Mario is getting in.
As Jeezette said, it's easier for a Koopa Troopa to go through the head of a needle than it is to get for a Koopa Troopa to get into the Kingdom of Heaven.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're all going to go burn in hell, but they're going to learn a valuable lesson.
Thanks, God.
For not being so sinful.
Not being so sinful. Yoshi also gets to go to heaven, right?
No.
No?
I'm sorry.
What?
Oh, wait. Oh, no. Yoshi was an innocent, but he died before he was baptized.
Oh.
So he goes to the special other purgatory that unbaptized babies go to, where all the innocents go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Only Mario.
Only Mario, all
to
right.
To this day. It's not because he's Mario, but just because he was the only one that lived a pure and good life
according
to all the doctrines of the Holy Bible.
The Holy Bible. The Super Bible.
The new Super Bible.
Bible. Welcome to Fan Fiction Writers Room. I'm your editing manager, Spencer Suarez.
And I'm your managing editor, Liz Cernick.
Here on Fan Fiction Writers Room, we take characters submitted by you, the listener, and weave them into a masterpiece in the way all great stories were meant to be told.
By amateurs on the internet. If you'd like to suggest characters for us, submit them to ffwrshow@gmail.com. Or use the Twitter?
Tweet at us at FFWRShow on Twitter and follow it too.
Yeah.
You know.
Do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll occasionally tweet out prompts for characters and things of that sort.
Yeah, we always tweet when new episodes come out. And sometimes, I haven't done it a whole lot, but sometimes I'll tweet like a funny quote from the show or something. Yeah, sometimes I try and like write like as if there was these fan fictions we're writing.
Oh yeah?
As if it was a real fan fiction and like write a line from that fan fiction.
I'm sorry.
I think
what?
I've only these done it are once. You're right.
Very real.
You're right.
Fan fictions.
As if these that fan fictions were written down. As admitted, yes. Yes. How are you, Liz? We've been off for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
How was your break?
Back from the Christmas break. It was good. I went over to Saskatchewan in the snow and had some great snow times with my fam. Yeah, Christmas was good. What's nice is my family doesn't do presents over a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
So now that my sister finally had some kids and we finally have grandkids in the family.
Present time?
We can buy presents. Yeah. Actually, what kind of happened is the presence of grandkids made the guilt of not... Because we were doing like a Secret Santa style thing. Mm. And it was like, it was getting to the point where it was like, I'm done doing this. We were all just doing it out of obligation.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't fun. It was just, mm-hmm. This is what Christmas is about. So when grandkids were introduced, and now my cousin has a kid too. So now there's actually like children around.
Yes.
So now it's like, oh great, we can all just buy the children things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an understanding that that's all you do. You buy the children things. So that's fun. I just spoil my sister's kids rotten. And I love it. I bought them. Okay, so I found out that they're starting to get into, like, graphic novels. And my one niece started talking about this, like, how to draw manga book that mm-hmm. her biological mom bought her. My mm-hmm. mom is my sister is her stepmother.
Mm-hmm.
So I got so excited. And I was like, oh my god, I have to mold these young, budding artists. So I bought them both comics, those like 3-in-1 omnibus style comics. I bought one of them Cardcaptor Sakura, mm-hmm. and I bought the other one Inuyasha, because nice. She likes scary things sometimes.
Nice.
And I bought them both How to Draw Manga books, mm-hmm. and I bought them both sketchbooks to work with those How to Draw Manga books.
Very good.
I bought them both some Micron pens, which are way too expensive and way too fancy for their age. Mm-hmm. They're like 7 and 9, and they're still using like Crayola markers way too hard where it smashes the lid. But it was like, the presents were like for me.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
I want to pass on these things to you. And then I bought the baby, just some baby bullshit.
Baby bullshit. Should we take a break?
Sure.
All right, catch you in a minute on Fan Fiction Writer's Room. I'm a great hairy hope of like a lycanthrope
without a hair in my soap. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Interaction with
that's funny.
Like, I didn't even know Genesis was a thing.
Yeah.
As a kid, I only knew of Nintendo.
Yeah.
And then it was like, as a teen, I learned, oh, also there's these weird other things.
So, Sonic? Okay. For me, was like...
But I always played Sonic the Hedgehog as a kid
recess?
At school.
Yeah.
At recess, because friends of mine liked it. But I was picturing a literal hedgehog.
Right, yeah.
And a fox. Actually, I was picturing a porcupine, because I had those animals confused.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's... Yes.
Still is weird.
Yeah, they're all...
A super fast porcupine having wacky adventures.
Oh, did you ever watch the Sonic Underground cartoon, though?
No.
Really?
No, you I didn't even know that was a thing.
Sonic Underground was good because they all had cool instruments.
Yeah.
That it shot
it was
magical.
Very radical.
Bolts of power. Mm-hmm. So that was dope. Also, they were all voiced by Jaleel White, who plays Urkel.
All of them?
All of the Sonic and his brother and sister.
Sonic 2 and Sonic 3?
Were all voiced by Jaleel White.
Wow!
So...
The Urkel man himself.
Yeah. You know, if you ever wanted to watch Urkel voicing a girl hedgehog, you can do that.
How did I never know I always wanted that?
Yeah. Would you like to write some fan fiction?
Yeah. Yes, please.
So, this week, we have a couple men with huge egos, I would say. Mm. We have... Humbert from the book series Lolita.
Is it a series or just a novel?
Or, sorry, the one book.
The novel?
The novel. Sent in by Ross Jackson. Thank you, Ross. Lady Macbeth, who is from Project Geeker. Not Lady Macbeth from Shakespeare.
No, sir. But the cartoon.
The cartoon by Doug TenNapel. Yeah, that guy who made Earthworm Jim. Yeah. Made a cartoon.
As we all know him, Doug TenNapel. Yeah, that guy.
And he, I guess he made a cartoon called Project Geeker.
In 1996.
There's not a whole lot about this cartoon online. So
I do want to watch it, though.
Yeah. If you have
any... It feels insufferable.
If you have rips of Project Geeker, please send them to ffwrshow@gmail.com. As far as I can tell, she's a cool lady cyborg that's tough as nails. And is dealing...
Has a robot hand.
Has a robot hand. And Wesley Boone sent in her, because Wesley loves to challenge us. Also, we have Inspector Clouseau from the Pink Panther films, played by Peter Sellers. We are going with the Peter Sellers version. Also sent in by Ross Jackson.
I guess his name also was Inspector Clouseau in the...
In the Steve Martin version. Yes. Yeah. And we have Kent Mansley from The Iron Giant. Sent in by Emily Strasser.
Good old Kent the Chin Mansley, FBI agent that wants to catch the giant.
Three of these characters...
And he has diarrhea.
He has diarrhea because he eats the bad chocolate.
He eats a laxative chocolate.
Which, every kid knows what a laxative chocolate is.
Makes you poop.
So, yeah, Humbert.
I think as a kid I always thought laxative was like a prank thing.
Yeah, like it didn't exist really for any real
reason. The word laxative was like fake poop. Also, here's laxative.
Mm-hmm. Humbert, Inspector Clouseau, and Kent Mansley, all of giant egos that get in their way of their whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've been trying to do with our stories recently is steal premises from other people's fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the ones I wrote down from the most recent page from Archive of Our Own. So the characters attend a boarding school, and they butt heads a lot. So it's a boarding school AU.
Hmm?
A fix-it fic. So this is basically they've taken the story and they've made it so that the characters weren't as abused or hurt or...
Oh, so it's taking... It's rewriting
the story so that it's...
I don't like this part of the story, so I'm going to write it how I want.
Exactly.
Not adding to the story, but changing it.
Yeah, exactly. I wrote down, the character has not gone out in forever, and they need to get laid.
Oh, yeah, man.
And then...
Going to go to the boarding school and get laid, man, at that cool frat party.
And... the character has crippling mental health issues, but their friends will help them get through it.
Oh my god.
So, what would you like to write? Who would you like to write about? And do those premises inspire anything?
Well, yes. Now they haven't gone out in forever and they need to get laid.
Yes.
Love it.
I love it. Because
relatable?
Yeah.
Fun, fresh, flirty.
It is fun and fresh and flirty.
What I really want to figure out, though, is, like, so Lady Macbeth is a cyborg.
So we're going with the character we know the least about. I love it. Continue.
Just because she's a cyborg.
Yeah.
And so I really want to delve into, like, how she poops and where her poop would go.
Doesn't she just have a cyborg arm? Are we deciding she's mostly cyborg? No one is going to challenge us on this.
No one knows.
Yeah. No one has watched this cartoon. There were a couple...
Wesley Boone apparently has.
Apparently. There were a couple YouTube videos that were like, that guy with the glasses.com era videos of like, people trying to become...
The next nostalgia critic.
Next nostalgia critic.
Hey, look at this crazy thing from the 90s. Let's dunk on it for a while.
And I decided not to watch... them because I did not want to
because I didn't want to
traumatize myself I didn't want to trigger my 2006 PTSD of that guy with the glasses.com.
Now Kent Mansley also infamously has pooping problems.
That's true.
He needs to get rid of his poop.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
So,
okay. And he needs to get out and get laid.
Okay, I love that these two problems are coming together.
Yes.
A character with two huge problems.
Yeah, he's been looking for this robot for so long. Yeah. He needs to get out and get laid, but also he can't stop pooping.
You know, like, all those stories, every story ever told.
Wait, has anyone ever made a gif of Kent Massey looking in the mirror and going, "Stop pooping!" Like Griffin McElroy did in his Vine?
Yes. No.
I'm sure that exists.
I mean, I don't know if Kent Mansley...
That must exist.
It must exist.
Okay.
Everyone makes Kent Mansley memes.
That's right.
He's the most popular.
He's the latest and greatest. What were you going to say? So, about stories?
Characters often will say out loud, "I want more." Like, Ariel wants more. I want to live in the great wide somewhere. And then what they find out is what they really need is this other thing. Often love.
The power of friendship.
Or the power of friendship.
The more was the friends we made along the way.
Exactly. So we could do, you know, Kent Mansley wants to get laid, but what he really needs to do is poop.
Stop pooping. So much. He needs to get rid of all his
poop. He's got to get rid of all the poop. Yeah. And then that fills the hole in his heart.
And his pants. Okay, I'll stop now.
We could do that. We could just do your thing where laid and pooping.
That's what I'm all about. That's my whole aesthetic. Laid and pooping.
Yep.
But who would Kent Mansley fall in love with?
Well, he definitely, like, doesn't necessarily try to get with Hogarth's bum.
Yeah.
But it's there.
He just hit on her a lot.
He hits on her, yeah.
And one assumes that he's, like, hitting on all the people in his life, though.
He's kind of just a dirtbag. So if you haven't seen The Iron Giant, Kent Mansley is the government agent who is assigned to check out this giant that keeps getting
reported. The rumors
reported.
Of the giant in the
and
area.
And at first he thinks it's dumb. And then when...
UFO-style nonsense.
Yeah. But then when it's apparent that something's actually happening, he thinks it'll further his career. And he very much is coming out of, like, the Cold War era paranoia.
Yeah, anything different is scary and must be destroyed.
Huge xenophobe to the point where, at the end of the movie, he dooms himself and the entire town of Rockwell by launching a nuke, to kill the giant. Without thinking, oh shit.
We're right next to the giant.
We're standing right next to the giant. That's the rundown of Kent Mansley. We could definitely have him hitting on Annie, who's Hogarth's mom, if you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to get laid, but then keeps getting in the way with his poop.
Maybe he comes across a quaint little town of wizards, and they teach him a very useful trick to do for all his pooping problems. Oh, at one point in the movie, to get rid of Kent Mansley, who's been shadowing Hogarth sneaks chocolate laxative into his food, and so there's a bunch of jokes of him running away and needing to poop in the bushes or whatever.
Yeah, he's right on Hogarth's tail, and then
that's why
the poop gets in the way.
He has diarrhea the whole movie.
Exactly. The movie is not too kind to Kent Mansley. Yeah.
I'm really surprised that I wasn't attracted to Kent Mansley because he's kind of right up my alley. Asshole, older man, wears a suit.
I mean, Dean's got a lot of those qualities. Were you attracted to Dean?
I was, yeah. I think Dean must have just stole Kent Mansley's thunder so much. Because Dean's older man, but also grumpy.
Yeah, he's grumpy.
Cool, but also grumpy.
Yeah.
I love
him. Dean is turns out to be the love interest for Annie. Although, it's very subtle, and then at the end, they're just together.
It's more so he's the friend interest for the kid.
Yeah, exactly.
The father figure.
I mean, it is Hogarth's film, not Annie's film. He befriends Hogarth and the giant, and he's just the coolest dude. He rides his cool motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
He drinks his cool cappuccino.
Makes cool art. Listens to cool records.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And he's a junk man.
He's got a cool voice actor.
Yeah. He's the best.
I love him.
Okay. College party. Dean is there. Not with Annie. Dean is there. Annie's there. Kim Mansley's there.
Are they in college?
They are in college. This is a college AU. College party AU. Kent is going to try to get with Annie.
Mm-hmm.
Dean and Annie are like buddies.
Yeah.
But like maybe something's going to happen. Like,
they're hitting it off.
They're hitting it off. So that makes Kent jealous. Also,
is Kent part of like the investigative newspaper journalism club?
Yes.
At the college?
Yes. He's, yeah.
Investigating anomalies.
He thinks Dean is a communist.
Oh, yes. Oh, that's and so good. He's investigating communists.
He's trying to prove to the board that Dean is a communist and they should kick him out.
So great. What's really great about that is that Dean probably is a communist.
Oh, yeah. He's such a communist. Minimum, he's a socialist.
Yeah, right.
Like, party opens, the music's playing, everyone's hanging out. Annie, alone. She's got her drink in her hand.
Mm-hmm.
She's leaning up against a wall. Kent comes in, just arrived at the party, mm-hmm. spots Annie in the corner of his eye, and thinks, I gotta get laid.
Yeah, I haven't been out in a while, and I gotta get laid.
Kent goes over to...
I don't know anything about Annie's personality, though, other than she worries about her son, Hogarth.
Yeah.
Doesn't want him to have a pet squirrel.
She's like, you know, hardworking...
Yeah.
20th century woman.
That's right. Hi, it's me, Annie.
Yep, that's Annie.
This is my voice.
Hey, Annie. How are you?
Oh, Kent Mansley. You're so manly.
Wow. you're coming on kind of strong. That's good. Yeah, I'm so manly and cool.
Yeah. And I love a big, strong man.
Dean, arrives.
Oh, Dean. Hey, baby.
And he says, oh, Kent, how are you doing? And he taps him on, he puts his arm around him, and he slips a laxative into Kent's drink.
Uh-oh.
And Kent says,
thanks.
Don't touch me, beatnik. I'm on to you.
You're red guy. Red in the face.
I know who you're working with. Who was a communist like guy? Marx.
Marx.
I know that we have communism as a little bit of a theme on this show, don't we?
Seems too. Yeah.
I know you're working with Marx.
I think we're both just on Twitter too much.
Yeah. What are you talking about, man? Enjoy the party.
Oh, hey, Dean.
Hey, Anne. How you doing?
Friend Kim Mansley.
Oh, yeah, we're acquainted.
How are you, Dean? And she's petting his hair.
You know.
Cool art lately?
Yeah.
Boy, Annie's a flirt.
Yeah, dude. And Kent.
Hey, Kent, you. And then she puts her arm around Kent and her arm around Dean.
Whoa.
Hey, you boys met each other? You know each other?
Kent says, yeah, I know this beatnik jerk. I hold that thought. And he runs to the bathroom.
Oh, where's he going in a hurry?
Beats me, babe. Hey, do you need another drink?
Oh, I think I do.
All right, let's get you one.
This one's just about empty. And then she downs the entire drink in one gulp.
Wow.
Wow, looks like I didn't need another drink.
Whoa, you know, at a party.
I'm very wild and free. Got no kids, got no husband. I don't know why I mentioned that. I just wanted you to know. Just feeling
good?
Free.
That's good, babe.
Relaxed. Like anything could happen.
Ooh.
With anyone.
Yeah. Let's get you that drink. So Kent is in the bathroom, pooping up a storm.
Oh my god. Clogs the toilet. Plunges the toilet. Now it's unclogged. Just a little aside adventure.
Oh.
That's kind of how fan
fanfiction works. It's like the worst writing ever. Like, why did you mention
this is
that?
A show where we love fanfiction.
Okay, no. Like, I love it, but also, that's the thing. No, there's no editors. It can.
Yeah, exactly.
Now there's just, he blends the toilet. What's he gonna do? Oh, he's gonna blend the toilet. Obviously. No, it's fine.
I mean, the thing to do is, if he has clogged the toilet, now the toilet starts overflowing and he has to deal with that.
Oh, no.
But we can do your... we just fix the problem.
He could just run out of the bathroom while it's overflowing. He's like, hey, great party, Kay, see you, bye. And then just runs down the stairs and then grabs Annie and Dean by the hand. Accidentally. Also grabs Dean by the hand.
Oh.
Dean, against... Not meaning to. Blushes a little bit.
Oh.
What's happening? What are these new and strange feelings?
I think, personally... I think the drama would be better if he does leave the toilet to overflow.
Yes.
But remains in the party.
Oh, and doesn't tell anyone.
He's
just like, whoa, what happened there?
Yeah.
Somebody.
Well, he doesn't even mention it. He just sneaks out very, like, sly.
Oh.
And so the toilet now.
You're right.
As Hitchcock said, the most interesting thing is to have the bomb. Under
Wait,
the table.
You know something and the characters don't know it. So then we go back to the party and this is happening upstairs the whole time. Toilets overflowing constantly.
Exactly. So we return to Dean and Annie are now sitting on a couch. They both got their drinks.
Maybe they're in the kitchen and she's sitting on the counter.
Ooh,
he's standing
very
in front
sexy.
Of her and they're drinking together.
Yeah. And you know, like... Her leg is touching his chest a little bit. Like, there's some intimacy happening.
Uh-huh.
Kent kind of buggers in. Buggers in? Is that a thing?
Yeah,
that's not a
sure.
He buggers in.
Buggers in? He just sodomizes his way into the kitchen.
And then Dean says, hey, man... How was your poop?
That's a normal thing to say.
How was your poop?
Yeah. How was your poop, man?
Normal. Nothing happened.
Normal average amount of poop.
Yep. Nothing bad happened, if that's what you're implying.
I'm glad to hear it, Kent. Why don't you get yourself over here and pour yourself a drink?
I could use a drink. And so... He grabs a drink, and now they're all talking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting friendly, they're getting loose, they're getting goosey. Yeah. Loosey and goosey.
Mm.
And then, you know, in the back of Kent's mind, he's thinking, I need to get laid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's looking at Annie, and he's looking at
Dean.
And, you know, it's getting loose.
Wheels are turning.
And they find themselves...
Annie's talking about, wow, this night feels so free and anything could happen with anybody.
Or
any two buddies.
And they find...
A couple could find themselves, or a trio could find themselves in a real sexy position.
What I want to happen is...
I don't know if you know what I want to happen. I'm being very coy about
yes.
it.
I want to add to that.
Very subtle.
I want there to be like a hate fuck to it. Because
oh, God.
Because he thinks he's all like, this dirty beatnik, this communist.
Maybe I've mentioned this before. Okay, let's backtrack to No TPs.
Yes.
I love the hate fuck.
Hate fucks are good.
I'm terrible. I'm a terrible person. Watching Deep Space Nine.
Yes.
Deep Space Nine is great, but it goes serious a lot of the time
mm-hmm.
when I kind of just wanted to go soap opera.
Oh, yeah.
So there's this character who's very much like a Nazi analog. He like was the like general in charge of keeping the Bajoran population in check
mm-hmm.
in their camps and all that stuff. And in his mind, he was their savior and liberator because he was so much nicer than the other Nazis and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Bajoran resistance fighter
mm-hmm.
who's not a resistance fighter anymore because the war's over.
Mm-hmm.
So Major Kira, the Bajoran, and Gul Dukat, the Nazi in charge of the Bajoran concentration camps.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the worst thing. Because you don't want to make, like, concentration camp survivor and Nazi analog hate fuck. But oh my god, why didn't Major Kira and Golden Khan hate fuck? Once. Even once. And then they don't have to do it anymore. But there was so much chemistry between them. He fell in love with her. He was literally, like, leaning up against her, like, sticking his leg out all sexy-like. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh, Major Kira, you do go on. And she's like, oh, get the fuck away from me, Nazi. And I was like, oh, my God, you gotta hate fuck him and then go do your business. And it's, like, the worst, because they're trying to be, like, serious and about issues.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, soap opera, you gotta fuck him.
That's the fun of it.
I know. It's so terrible. But I wanted Major Kira and Galticott to have a fling. Hate fling. And then she can go off with her grand love. And I loved her grand love. It was great. I don't want to spoil it for anyone who wants to rewatch this early 90s, late 80s TV show. And that was No TPs, our fun segment.
Oh, right. That was a No TP.
Yeah, sorry. So, okay.
I'm just wondering if I should add on to the No TP.
Kent and Dean do have to get into a fight.
Okay.
They have to get into an ideological fight.
Right.
And then a fist fight.
Okay. I guess Kent, like, probably just will casually throw to some Marxism.
Mm-hmm.
He'll talk about
those dirty commies. He'll just think that's, like, a thing you can say.
Yeah, and exactly. Fine. And
Dean will be like, actually.
And Dean,
people should, like,
who's feeling a little loose.
Uh-huh. Combative.
Is letting his tongue slip, like, that he's, you know, kind of a commie himself.
Yeah, that, like, socialism, not so bad. Maybe you should give it a try.
Yeah.
Maybe you've been fed lies your whole life.
Maybe it's okay to spread the wealth. Maybe there shouldn't be billionaires.
Just saying.
And Kent gets so angry, and he...
I think Annie and the three of them are having, like, a conversation between the three of them. And mm-hmm. then Dean and Kent get, like, fixated on each other. And they can't let it go. And at one point, Annie has left, and they haven't noticed. They're right, still arguing. And she's outside smoking a cigarette, and she's like, oh, fuck.
They were having, like, a pretty cordial conversation that escalated.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not talented enough actors to give you that.
Or writers to give you that. But just, like, imagine that.
Imagine it.
I'm picturing it right now. It's really good.
So, yeah, their conversation was pretty normal, and it escalated and escalated. Annie was a part of it, and slowly she left it.
Yeah.
And now she's out having this smoke break, and they start fist fighting.
Maybe. Yeah, and so people. And then Annie notices that they're fighting. Because people tell them to take it outside. And they both get thrown out of the party.
Not yet? Yeah, they're fist fighting.
They're inside the house?
They're inside the house fist fighting.
Okay.
And, you know, they're grabbing each other and throwing each other. Dean hits a cupboard, not a cupboard, like a, they knock a lamp over. You know, they're breaking stuff. The owner of the house is freaking out at them and kids says, get out of here, you.
You rollicking youngins.
You jerkholes.
What are punks called in the 50s? You punks, you greasers.
Hooligans.
Hooligans.
You ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah.
And just at that moment, the toilet.
Oh, no!
How is this going to resolve itself? I want the toilet to, like, reach its peak.
So the climax is that Dean punches Kent Mansley, like, as hard as he can in the face, and Kent drops to the floor completely out, because he's the big asshole, so we do need to bring him down.
Mm-hmm.
And so he needs to be the one that loses the fight. And at that moment, someone starts screaming upstairs and water starts trickling down the stairs.
Someone says, Grow! There's shit
someone
everywhere!
Clogged the toilet! Yeah. The toilet's overflowing! thing.
And people freak out and they're running around. And because of all this panic, people are stepping on Kent.
Oh, no.
And Dean, who's, you know, as much as he's got the ideological differences, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
And he throws Kent over his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave the party. Annie comes with them.
Mm-hmm.
They go back to Annie's place because she lives nearby.
Yes. And now we have a nursing back to health yes. kind of a thing going
so,
on.
So Kent wakes up. He's Dean and Annie. Dean has a frozen steak on his head.
Yes, right.
Because
he does have like a black eye and a yeah. split lip.
And Annie has put on some soft music.
It's so hot.
And
the black eye, I mean. Mm.
And
but he's a man in distress. Mm.
It's just we love to fix things.
I just want to. Like,
we have some damage, dude. We're into Rei Ayanami. It's like we want to fix someone, and it's it's a bit of a problem.
I love when characters get sick and have really high fever.
Yeah,
the character has to like take care of them.
Rei Ayanami is literally introduced with like.
Oh yeah, she's all beat up.
She's beat up.
She's introduced as a nurse back to health.
Yeah.
AU fix in one.
And Shinji is given the choice, like, if you don't fight in the robot,
yeah.
this half-dead girl's gonna have to. And Shinji's like, it's like, yeah, we have the damage. We want to fix people.
And I love in Neon Genesis Evangelion when Rei's first introduced and wheeled in, and someone turns to Shinji and says, Shinji! You have to save her.
Yes.
You have to nurse her back to health.
And
they turn directly into the camera and say, so do you.
Yes. And it's
the
3D.
Viewers. Yeah.
And it says, audience. Put on your 3D glasses.
And then it cuts to a picture of you sitting there yeah. in the audience in the theater.
It was very neat.
Ahead of its time.
Yeah. Annie is currently making some drinks in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Because it's the 50s and they're very dumb and they think that alcohol is the thing to cure a hangover from other alcohol.
How much later is it?
Oh, I don't know.
I assumed it was just like half an hour later. They're still drinking.
Oh, okay. They're still drinking. It's still party time.
Yeah, it's still party time. I mean, they're calming mm-hmm. down. They're settling down after the party.
Yeah.
And
but Kent's still out for the count.
Is he?
Laying on a couch. Yeah. He has to wake up at the new location.
Yeah, that's what's happening right now. He's waking up. He's coming to.
Well, no, he has to be out while the other two are chatting.
Oh, okay.
And then he wakes with a start, and he's still like, ah, I'll get you.
Right,
oh,
okay.
Where am I?
So Kent's like, ah, oh, this dummy. And he's stabbing his...
No, you mean Dean is looking at Kent.
Sorry, did I say Kent?
Yes.
Dean is looking at Kent and is icing his wounds and is yes. just like, this dummy.
Idiot. This handsome idiot.
Yeah.
And he's like, what did you say? Nothing. Call him an idiot.
Yeah.
And that's all I call him.
He's dumb. And,
he's got a lot of passion, though.
Yeah. He does.
Believes in
things. Something.
Yeah.
I guess I
just want to believe in something.
Have you read the Communist Manifesto?
Have you read Atlas Shrugged?
Oh, no. Brad Bird, it's you!
Pulls off her mask. Hey!
Annie was the Brad Bird insert character all along.
Oh, no! And it's a horror movie now!
The two of them talk about Kent and how,
mm-hmm.
he's a nice enough guy.
Yeah.
He's just a little paranoid.
Yeah. He just needs some better influences in his life.
Yeah. And Kent starts coming to.
Well, he has to wake up with a start.
Okay, he's...
Oh, I know. So Dean is leaning over him and applying a cold compress on his mm-hmm. forehead. And Kent wakes up with a start and they bonk foreheads.
Oh, perfect.
And Dean goes, and falls over.
Falls over. And...
Kent wakes up, bonks heads, falls back onto the couch.
Yeah.
And then wakes up again. Mm-hmm. And starts, I'll get you, you red bastard. Where am I?
And Annie hands Kent a drink, says, here you go.
Here you go, darling.
Here you go, darling. Honey.
Here's a martini.
And
we're drinking martinis now.
And hands Dean one, and the three of them, you know, they
Dean puts on a cool record.
Cool record.
Like jazz. The coolest genre.
Yeah.
Obviously. Because they are in downtown Coolsville.
Yeah.
And the population is them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And it's just like a chill night. And they're getting so drunk.
They're super drunk.
Getting a little bit warm in here? It's a little bit warm.
And
they've all taken off layers of clothing. Oh my god, they've taken off their suit coats and vests and whatever 50s outfit they're wearing.
Yeah.
And they're just with the loosened ties.
They've loosened their ties.
And they've got the open shirt and the first sleeves two buttons
are
top
are done up.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
it's
they
so
pushed
hot.
Up their sleeve. And they're, you know, Kent says, sorry, Dean. Sorry, Dean, you know. I just want to make this country great again.
Like it is now. I want to keep it
at
this level of greatness.
you know how outside it's great.
It's so great.
We want it to. I just want it to remain.
I just
want to
make America remain great now.
I want America to be this great forever. And Kent says, "I know, buddy. I know." And he softly caresses the bump on Kent's head.
Mm.
And the two of them.
And he kisses the bump. To make it better.
Kisses the bump. And they look deep into each other's
eyes. And he goes, does that feel better? And he goes, But there's also a bruise right here. Points at his lips. Okay. Indiana Jones style. It hurts a little bit more right here. You should probably kiss me right there.
And so they kiss. And they kind of softly kiss and they look at each other. And they just there's a moment of hesitation.
Okay, so their faces are pressed against each other, kissing, and when they pull away, we can see Annie's face in the background, just behind them, with her eyes as big as saucers and the hugest grin on her face. You can tell we're cartoonists because all of our gags are visual gags.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then she's sitting behind them on the couch. No, she's behind the couch, and then she like sinks down.
Yeah.
So she's hidden.
And the two of them passionately grab each other by the collars and...
Wait, no. Okay, so they pull apart and they're like, what just happened? And then he grabs him by the collar and he's like, did you just kiss me? And he's like, yeah, I did. Well, you better do it again. And then they grab each other violently.
Mm-hmm.
And smoosh their faces together as hard as they can.
And they fall over onto the couch and they're kissing and they're
like Annie runs over and it's like, no, stop fighting, because they're so angrily and passionately just rubbing each other's bodies.
And realizing she
And then she sits on a chair in the corner and smokes her martini and or drinks her martini and smokes a cigarette.
Yeah.
I continue.
And they don't even hear her.
Yeah.
They grab their belt and each other's belts and undo it. And they, you know, jerk each other off.
Yeah. But the whole time they're like daring each other to. Like they're angrily. Like, well, what do you think?
Kent keeps,
I'm not gonna? You think I'm chicken? You think I'm not gonna suck you off right now?
Kent keeps calling him a damn commie.
Yeah, yeah.
And...
what's a pinko? Is that a communist? That was a pinko?
Sure.
And the other one calls him a fascist.
Yeah.
Dang.
Fascist.
You boot licking pig.
And it's very mean sex that they take their...
It's terribly unhealthy. Yeah.
At one point, Dean takes his belt and is kind of...
like whipping.
Whipping them.
Punching each other and then kissing them.
Annie doesn't... Like, she was so into it and now it's like gone to the point...
This is weird.
It's like scary. And she like...
What's happening?
She like she sneaks off into the other room and calls the school counselor. And like... Tells them what's happening.
Like, I think you're in a fan fiction right now. You better watch out.
this is gonna get weird.
And a fan fiction, and she looks around.
What the?
And all of a sudden, she's a part of their lovemaking session.
Oh my god. It's like they're a force of nature, and they roll into the room, and she's like, whoa, I can't stop myself. Yeah. I have to just make out passionately.
And yeah, they roll onto her bed, and the three of them, they're doing all sorts of unspeakable things.
Mm-hmm. They drive out to Dean's place.
Yeah.
And they make out amongst his art.
Yeah.
And with his
they
art.
They fuck on top of the art.
Yes. Two of them fuck while the other one fucks a statue.
Yes.
And then they three of them fuck at once.
And,
and it's just nasty.
It's just nasty.
Just a nasty.
It's just disgusting. And we start up on the next morning.
And they are all so hungover and don't remember goddamn thing.
Yeah. But they're all like...
But they're all wearing each other's clothes.
Wearing each other's
like
clothes.
Like a mixture of each other's
and
clothes.
And splayed on top of artwork in positions that they didn't think were possible.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're, you know, they wake up and they're like, what?
Where?
Hey guys, how are you?
And then there's like a moment... And they all reason, like, what are you doing here in my bed in the morning? Because they all think they're in their own bed in the morning.
And they calm down.
Calm down?
They go to a diner.
No, they silently trade clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I believe this is yours. And they're very, like, cordial.
Mm-hmm.
They're like there's a tie wrapped around someone's head. Yep. And he's like, I think this is yours, actually. And
And,
one of them had the woman's pantyhose on.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think I was supposed to be wearing those. That's okay. And they go to the diner and they're just sipping coffee.
They sip some coffee and don't really say anything, but they're silent and they
can all piece together what just happened.
And at the diner, the woman who threw the party is there. And no, you know what?
No.
I don't want to call. I'm trying to call back to the poop. But I can't exactly do it.
I forgot about the poop. Maybe they're sitting there and Dean goes, oh, geez, I got to get to class. And so he gets up and goes to class. And then they're sitting there and Kent goes, ah, I need to use the bathroom. He runs off to the bathroom as a callback.
As a callback.
And then she's just sitting there. All right. See ya. You guys, she's just sipping her coffee, and that's the end.
Mm-hmm.
It just like pans out.
Yeah.
Her from the window, just sipping her coffee in the diner, and she's just like, "Yeah, that was great," and smoking her cigarette at the same time because it's the '50s, and you're allowed to smoke inside restaurants.
It's crazy, and and our heroes got laid, which is the goal.
They got out and they got laid.
They got out and they got laid.
Oh my god!
Way to go!
And it was a college party.
Sandwich criticism?
We checked off all the check marks.
Yeah.
Sandwich criticism. What is sandwich criticism? One good, then the criticism, then another good.
Yeah.
And there's so much good to this
one. I actually quite like this one.
Sexy?
Sexy?
So sexy. And explicit.
Explicit?
Yeah, we don't always go so explicit.
Yeah, we've done other sexy stories, but we've never gotten this explicit.
Have we had a threesome before?
I don't think so.
Good.
I'm trying to think. There was no sex in the Seinfeld.
oh, yeah, right. That was more of a romance kind of thing. A drama.
In the Howl's Moving Castle, there was sort of implied orgies.
Oh, I suppose. Probably. But not the main characters.
Yeah, we never, got into it. One thing we didn't like?
Criticism. We did kind of skip over the meat of their argument.
We
kind of hopped out on that.
We'll get better, though.
It wouldn't have been nice to listen to, because we'd be bad. And we don't know, the ideological
we're not educated enough. We know what reading Twitter threads has taught us.
And that's what...
That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I think this was a good one.
That was a really good one.
Yeah, I liked...
I like all the poop jokes.
I liked all the poop jokes. I like that we took the three characters, the three adults from this movie, and like did something with them.
Oh, we kind of did. We kind of did a fix-it fic because Kent Mansley, we turned into a redeemable character instead of a villain. Mm-hmm. He's not a redeemable character in the movie version.
Yeah, he's the worst.
But in our fix-it fic, he is only the worst in a fun way.
Yeah. Who would you like to see in a fix-it fic?
Who would you like to fix?
Who would you like to fix? Which characters from fiction would you like to fix? Send them on over. Send them on over to ffwrshow@gmail.com.
And thanks to the band known as Seawater Bliss for the use of their song Theme from Teen Wolf 2 as our intro and outro.
And remember, when in doubt, just AU that garbage.
Sigma!